Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to CPFL Energia's fourth quarter of 2015 earnings conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and other officers of the company. This call is being broadcast simultaneously on the internet at the investor relations website of CPFL Energia, www.cpfl.com.br/ir, where you can also find the banner for download. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Afterwards, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any of you need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia's management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and may cause results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, we will turn the conference over to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Ferreira, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Welcome, everybody, investors, analysts that accompany us in this fourth quarter of 2015 earnings conference call, and also a few data about the whole year as well. I would like to start by page number three, when we make an introduction where we are starting from this year. We understand that 2015 was a very positive year from the regulatory viewpoint, and 2016, regarding the rainfall perspective, we believe that the worst of the crisis of the electric sector and hydrologic crisis is over. I would like to start on the hydrologic scenario. On page number four already, you see a demonstration of that. We have the data of last Friday. We got to about 55% of storage in our reservoir equivalent of NIPS. The outlook is to get to close to 60% at the end of this month. On the lower part, you have the very clear reasons why we have this good situation. If you take the last three summers, in the summers, we have always been below and 12-13, 13-14, 36 below, and the previous one, 10% in the wet period. The same, almost 32% below LTA from 14-15. This year, as you can see on the chart, we are already 6% above the LTA. This is very satisfactory. This is fundamental for us to have a final solution to this theme related to dispatches. Here we are talking about mainly the Southeast and Center-West. As you can see, we are in a very comfortable situation. As you can see, 127% in January, 86% February in SECW, and again, 100% in March 2016. This is a comfortable situation, so we can well imagine that by the end of April or the wet season, we will be very close to these curves of the last 20 years, which give us a very comfortable outlook from the viewpoint of energy sold to other utilities. On page number five, we have the perspective for 2016. We are considering 90% of LTA. We are higher than that, and 40% of thermal dispatch,
In November 2016, the reservoir levels will be in line with 1997 to 2015. This is very important. You can see that we get close to 60% near April if the same levels of storage are maintained, the ones that we have had in the last 3 months. So this way, looking at the scenario of load, which is practically stable, 0.9% higher, in fact, and the thermal dispatch, 61% of the thermal situation. In the worst hypothesis, we would have a 50% dispatch, and we would get to 31%. And in the real condition, estimated by the ONS, that would be close to 49%. So you can see that we would be turning the page on the problems that we have faced in the last 3 years. Now, page number six. Another fundamental theme was solved at the end of 2015 in our case and for most companies at the beginning of 2016 regarding the GSF, which was another big concern that was addressed on page number seven. You have the specific case of CPFL. We have 41 plants, 7 HPPs, and 34 SHPPs. Exposure levels have 760 megawatts average. Serra da Mesa, in our case, is not exposed to this kind of risk. And of the 760, we had 65% regulated market and 35% free market. All these 65%, 455 megawatts average that you can see below, they were all renegotiated. And the product that we chose was SPC, which is a maximum protection. So the GSF estimated by ANEEL in 2015 was 43 reals and 5 cents megawatt hour. The risk premium adopted by the choice that we made was 9.5 megawatt hours. So we are entitled to a reimbursement of 33 reals and 55 cents per megawatt hour with a positive effect on our adjusted EBITDA of 2015 of 134 million reals with full coverage to all contracts of CPFL involved in this market. Another page that we turn on a problem that was relevant in the last couple of years to the sector and mainly to generators. Now the third theme, which was another concern in 2015. And we will show you the perspective regarding the pressure on DISCO's cash flows. We carried out many important actions in the past, last year, mainly regarding the ETR and tariff flags and the tariff realism, as we call it. But DISCOs had already started 2015 with cash imbalances, and by the end of the year, the situation started to deteriorate. And on page number nine, we already show you a very positive perspective for the next few months. So the reference that I had made regarding tariff realism actions that meant an increase of 53.3% in our tariffs to DISCOs, 39% of the PTRs, ATRs, and ETRs, besides the 14% of the tariff flags. You can see on the right that the third quarter of 2015 was the one where we had the peak of the use of cash by means of CVA, 1.9 billion reals of credit vis-a-vis the system or customers, and the situation improves in the last quarter already, also due to the reduction of the tariff banners, 1.7 billion. And as you can see on the lower part of the chart, with the lower tariff established for Itaipu and lower CDE quota, besides the perspective the hydrological perspective, therefore lower thermal dispatch. Our expectation is that by September this year, we will have these funds totally coming back to the distributor's cash. So this was a big financial problem to most of the DISCOs, and the situation will change by September this year, at least as far as our group is concerned. Then we get to 2016. New problems in 2016, starting on page number 10, regarding over-contracted position. On page 11, we have a little bit of this moment and the perspectives for the solution to this theme that will occur to most DISCOs in Brazil. Given that in the last few years there was a reduction in consumption, in the previous year it was practically maintained stable. The outlook for this year, the perspective is flat, but the contracts that were signed in the past in order to cope with the perspective that we saw for consumption at the time will determine this over-contracted position higher than the regulatory limit of 105%. Because of that, ANEEL submitted to discussion two things. The first about 10 days ago, and that should be voted next week by the agency themselves. And because of this provisional measure, we have a methodology to recognize involuntary surplus coming from the contract of quotas from 2012 to now. We have the situation, and this provoked to most of the DISCOs, together with the regular contracts in the auctions carried out A-5, A-6, A-1, that they would have this over-contracting position. We expected this to be voted tomorrow, however, it's not in the agenda. So due to the need or emergence of this decision, we expect this to be voted by next week. And this proposal alone is enough to solve the problem in the short run for CPFL. The reduction that comes from this AP004 is 4%, and in the short run, this affects the whole sequence of contracting by DISCOs, but in the short run, there is a 4% reduction, placing all the CPFL DISCOs within the range of 105% tops. So this is very important for all the companies and specifically for CPFL, because by itself, it solves the short-term problem. It is also true that we are dealing with something that is already underway, with a big migration of customers. Because of that, there is another PH underway, and the contributions end today. And there is a postponement or suspension of contracts for new energy. There is a good potential of plants that are delayed, so a methodology is being created to reduce bureaucracy so that this can be done quickly. It's important to stress that there is a reasonable potential here to do this kind of job. We know the large plants that are delayed, or the large number of plants that are delayed. So with this action alone, and together with the one on the right, referring to migration of customers, which has a higher volume today, increasing this over-contracted position because there is no regulation to deal with this migration of special customers specifically. So in 2015, 13, there was PH085, which discussed the route to adjust DISCO's contracted position due to migration of special customers, so that we could have the proportional restitution of contracts as we had the exit of these special customers. This is being discussed with ANEEL, and I believe that the three proposals taken together will make this theme of over-contracted positions be solved in a very transparent and fair manner because of the moment that we are living today. It is true that we might have an important solution for the sector in the next few days regarding the conclusion of PH004, and this is very important because of the needs of DISCOs for future auctions. And finally, the challenge that we will be facing is the macroeconomic scenario that everybody will be facing because of all this turbulence and volatility that the country has been living. On page 13, we have the scenario that is used by CPFL as a reference for its forecasts. For a long time, we have been using IBGE and LCA, and you can see our main figures here, figures that are being the basis for our future planning process. In the GDP theme, we had a drop of 3.8, and we believe there will be 3% drop this year. Recovery only in 2017. The results stem from variation in industrial production on the right that dropped 8.3 last year, and we expect it to drop an additional 4.7 this year to rebound in 2017. And total payroll that affects mainly residential dropped 5% last year. This year, we expect it to drop an additional 3.1%, rebounding in 2017. I would like to remind you that we have an expectation because of the restatement of contracts. Inflation was 10.7 last year. We believe it will be 7.2 this year, so higher than the limit. And going back to the center of the target, or higher than the center of the target in 2017 with 5.3%. This means that we have to be very careful in terms of developing activities in the energy sector. Just to end this point, I would like to mention that I think it's important to have these themes of 2015 solved, and as you can see, we are addressing all the possibilities for 2016 on. On page 14, we have the highlights. The first one is negative. Sale dropped by 5.3% in the concession area. Residential minus 2%, commercial minus 2.2%. Industrial minus 9.6%, aggravating the scenario of industrial consumption. On the lower part, we have the results of 2015, a reduction of 4% in the sales in the concession area of distributors, the same 2% residential seems to have reached the bottom, commercial minus 1%, industrial minus 6.9%. In spite of all this reduction, we continued our investment. We invested almost half a billion reals in the fourth quarter, closing the year with 1,428,000,000, 30% higher than our investments in 2014. We renegotiated the hydrological risk, as I said, to 458.8 average. We had the issue of the company's ratings, S&P as AA minus, Fitch AA maintained. This is recent. It was a week ago. There is a recognition on the part of rating agencies, mainly regarding the liquidity of the group, contributing to the maintenance of the rating perspective, and the entry of CPFL Energia's shares in the IBRX 50 and becoming a component stock of the ICO2 Carbon Efficient Index in January 2016. So this is very good news. They were maintained in the ISE index for the 11th consecutive year, and CPFL was classified as a member of the Sustainability Yearbook 2015, prepared by Rebecca Sam, responsible for the review of the DJSI. So these are the main highlights of the fourth quarter. Now, just to talk about sales in the fourth quarter, and afterward we'll tell you about the year. On page 15, we see a drop in the captive market of 4.1, as I have already mentioned. In the green area, you see the free customers, especially industrial, a drop of 8.5%, and the total in the concession area is 5.3 minus, as I said. And the negative highlight here is in the industrial sector with a 9.6% drop on a year-on-year comparison, reaching 5.3 negative. The positive outlook occurs in our evaluation of contracted demand over the same month of 2014. Since June, we kept the contracted demand higher, positive on a year-on-year comparison, mainly in the off-period and off-peak and the peak, a slight reduction, 0.8 June, 0.9 September. In December, the behavior was different. So peak going up and off-peak continued to grow at 1.6%. The participation of industrial that was once upon a time 40 and now it's 39%, you can see that this breakdown is more or less kept. You can see that in the specific area of the concession area or growth in the concession area, mainly in the southeast and south, the group had a performance that was lower than Brazil. Brazil dropped 3.3 and we dropped 5.3 in our concession areas. In volume in the southeast, 4.3, and our discos 4.9. And in the south, we had a slightly better performance vis-a-vis the rest of Brazil, the south going down 8% and we going down 7.1%. On the next page, sales in 2016, a drop of 3.3% in the captive market, very close to what we had said to the market at the beginning of the year, 3.3, and TUSD dropping by 5.8. We had already said that the biggest contribution was a drop of 6.9% in industrial. I had said 40% industry for the whole year, but as you saw, due to the drop in the at the end of the year, there was a loss of relative share to 39%. And the figures in a comparison between the regions with CPFL, you can see 4% drop, and here to 3%. Last year we had an increase of 0.1% in our generation installed capacity in renewables from 915 to 930. In, you can see renewable and conventional. Page 17. delinquency, which is a cause of concern to many analysts and investors. On the upper part of the slide, we see the evolution of the number of total bills where we have delinquency up to D90, up to non-verification of payment. The good news is that we had a reduction in December, and we expect it to drop as we see the dropping down of tariff banners. And you can see that in terms of billing from 19 and the last 12 months is stable, 0.8384, and the figure is relatively stable. And what has been establishing this is the account of the group. Besides the increase in the account and the decrease in salaries and increase in employment, as you may remember, last year we had the removal of some customers, the lower income customers that had incentives. So in number of bills, it's practically half in the B group, 116,000, and it has not stopped dropping in spite of the index of D90 over the revenues is kept constant practically. It's important to highlight that all the actions, and we made many reports to you about that, between 30 and 50% of cuts and all the instruments available to the company. You can see this in the evolution of the provision for doubtful accounts. You can see 60% here on our tariffs, 50% in allowance for doubtful accounts, as you can see on the slide. This reinforcement is important because if we look at the percentage of recoverable revenue over billings in the last 12 months, we expected 2.9 in the fourth quarter of 14 and 4.25% in the fourth quarter of 15, keeping this theme of allowance of doubtful accounts 50% higher than we expected, around 30, 35 million reals.
And finally, on page 18, we bring the results of the fourth quarter. The first line brings the reported results, IFRS, and the second line, what we always have, incorporating the proportionate consolidation of our assets. It's different from the IFRS and our considerations as regards the sectoral financial assets and liabilities and non-recurring items. So starting with IFRS, on the fourth quarter of 2015, we have a drop of 8.7% on net revenue, reaching 4,507,000,000. And this is related to that consolidation of assets and liabilities verified on the last quarter of 2014. So looking at the recurring value, it's approximately 0.3%, reaching an increase of 15 million. So this revenue increase was affected throughout the year, especially due to the tariff increases, although in the fourth quarter we have a non-occurring item from the last quarter of 14. EBITDA in IFRS, there's a decrease of 35%, a drop of 337 million reais, and in the proportionate and recurrent values, we're talking about a decrease of 7.7%, 70 million, reaching 844 million reais. The EBITDA is the main guide in the last line of this net profit, of net income, with a drop of 22.8%, which is 363 million in the last quarter, or a decrease of 10.7% at 255 million reais. At the bottom of the slide, you have the variation of the items, either on the consolidation or sectoral financial assets and liabilities for that quarter. And our non-recurring items. The sectoral financial assets and liabilities of the year of 14 in GSF and energy purchases that is verified here both in 14 and less in 15, both for Geração and Renováveis. The effect of the renegotiation of the GSF, the risk of premium, the insurance reimbursement for the Biopedra plant as an addition in this fourth quarter, the impairment of two assets, an accounting procedure recommended by our auditor, and the non-recurring effects at CPFL Renováveis that occurred in the fourth quarter of 2014. So due to these effects, when we address the EBITDA, we have 700 million, 70 million in the last quarter of 15, and a difference if you're considering the sectoral financial assets on the previous year, there's an effect of 428. So the recurring value of 14 turns it into 428 from 1005 of the fourth quarter of 15, removing 161. After this, we move on to page 19, addressing the evaluation of the main items. So we're not discussing the comparison of the 25%, but the drop of 7.7% right now. As you can see on the chart, there's an important negative effect on distribution. First, the currency variation, and the dollar was very volatile last year and in the last quarter. The increase of 10.9 in the IPCA or the 10.5 of EGPM is an important variation. We will talk about the results of our manageable costs in a minute. But on the last quarter, we have a very close value to that of the inflation. The drop of the market in the distribution area was 33 million, decreasing the results. The adjustments of ETR and CVA in Santo Antonio, highlighted in our release, regarding a procedure obtained by Piratininga and applied to all companies. The allowance for doubtful accounts of an additional 12 million. And the cost of the collection actions that we implemented to maintain this allowance of doubtful accounts. The sale of assets in the fourth quarter, a small amount. Legal and judicial indemnities of 17 million reais is a positive result. The pass-through of PIS/COFINS of 15 million. It's a procedure to avoid the volatility on the pass-through of PIS and COFINS. And other items amounting to 12 million. So the distribution is clearly what is responsible in the last quarter for the negative variation of our business. Conventional generation reports a 10.4% positive result. The seasonality strategy contributed with 9 million. The better performance of EPASA in 20 million. Since September of 2012, and others, a smaller amount of 3 million. For renewable generation, an important highlight of an increase or a growth of 57.7% or 64 million. On one side, because of the lower energy purchase of SHPPS biomass plants, 15 million, lower fine in Bioformosa, 11, asset write-off of 5 million, and this commercial startup of Morro dos Ventos 2, contributing with 33 million reais to these results. CPFL Renováveis, for the first time, achieving an EBITDA as a company higher than 1 million reais, at an important growth rate, delivering the projects that we'll have this year. For commercialization services and holding, the result was 6.2% higher, or 2 million reais. In the previous year, we were working with a much higher PLD ceiling, and the company had strict results. We are very pleased with the results on commercialization we had in this last quarter. So the bottom line, the conventional and renewable generation activities were positive, commercialization also positive, distribution with negative results, and mostly due to the volatility of the exchange rates and the drop of market that are the main elements that determine this variation. On slide 20, we have the manageable expenses based on our cost or expense management program, and I think this is the main result. If we look since the implementation in recurrent values on the right side, there's a decrease of 18%, equivalent to 326 million reals at this time. So reaching 1,430,000,000 we would have if it weren't for that action, but it was an expressive result and significant result. And this reduction occurs both on MSO, on the contracts, and also in personnel in real terms. And on the year from 14 to 15, the actions throughout the crisis brought a decrease in real terms of 6% when compared to the IGPM of the period. If we see the comparison of nominal values last year, we had an increase of 3.8%, an inflation of around 10%, so it's 6% less as reported. And in the whole series, we're maintaining the level of 1,350,000,000, 1,400,000,000 over the last 5 years. The company's been growing and the nominal costs are being maintained stable. And this is very important, especially at this period of crisis. Now on slide 21, on the results, considering the 10% decrease on this last quarter, resulting from the reduction of 7.7% in EBITDA, with a better financial result, a 54.7% decrease in negative net financial result, contribution of 150 million positive, the variation of Disco's concession financial asset of 96 million, the restatement of sectoral financial assets and liabilities, and the resources that we have at CVA at 59 million. The Itaipu currency variation that was positive in this negative EBITDA of 50 million, which is transparent in the effect of results. We have the arrears of interest and fines, installment payments, so that's some work that we developed to manage delinquency, offset by these arrears, and the net financial expenses negative in 59 million, as we can see with the company's results on the fourth quarter of 14, the CDI on average was 11.7, and in fourth quarter of 15, 14.4. PIS/COFINS over financial revenues, a new tax that we did not have in 14, and others at 17 million. We had an increase in 3.2% in depreciation and amortization, and geração and renovável, increase of income tax and social contribution also on 65 million. So we then refer to profits of 255 million reais. On page 22, it's an overview of the comparison of 2014 and 2015. And we can see an increase in net revenue in IFRS of 17%. So it is reaching 19.159 million in the year. EBITDA stable with a decrease of 11 million reais, amounting to 3,750, and net income dropped 1.3 million or 11 million reais, amounting to 875 million. I believe that you analysts have a preference of looking at these results from the management viewpoint. The company has an increase of 20% on revenue. The tariff increases have an important effect in here since from March and April, amounting to 18.915 billion. EBITDA with an increase of 1.2%, amounting to 3.948 billion reais and 4 million. Then also with the impact of the financial costs and the CDI, the net income amounts to 1.924 billion, a decrease of 3.2%. These differences between IFRS and the recurrent results are affected by the GSF in 2015. Estimated GSF minus risk premium of 134 million and the expenses. On the previous year, as you remember, we had the sectoral assets and liabilities, the CVI, amounting to 831 million reais, and the expenses with GSF in the year of 2014 amounted to 333 million reais. These are the main differences determining these variations. Considering the crisis and the regulatory challenges, the drop in consumption, if you look at the company's recurrent result, our result was slightly positive. Considering the scenario, we can say it is significantly positive. What do we do with these results? On slide 23, as we did last year, recognizing the volatility of the results for the market, the recommendation is the constitution of statutory reserve, strengthening of working capital in the amount of 393 million reais. We also proposed the reversal of this statutory reserve through stock dividends. You can see at the bottom of this presentation that the cost attributed to each of the bonus shares of 15.78 per share. Considering it as a whole, the stock dividend is equivalent to 0.39 per share. We should note that the stock dividend proposed is of 2.50757044.48% in the ratio of 0.02507570448 new share of the same type for each share. The total number of shares that make up the company, the capital stock will go from 933,014,250 shares to 1,017,914,746, with the issuance of 24,900,531 shares to be distributed to shareholders under Article 169 of Law 6404/76. Subscribed and paid capital stock will go from 5,348,000 to 5,741,000. On the right, we have the breakdown of these results. The net income of the fiscal year individually of 865 million. Results from previous years, 26. Prescribed dividend, another 6, with a net income base of 897 million. Legal reserve of 5%, 43 million. Statutory reserve of the concession financial asset. That's the results without cash of 255 million reais. Statutory reserve from this proposal of strengthening of working capital of 393 million reais. We also recommend the payment of the minimum mandatory dividend of 205 million reais, corresponding to 25% of net income of the fiscal year, equivalent to 20 cents per share, 2068.68475 per share. So at the moment of this result for the period of 2015, the company proposes the minimum payment of 205 million and the statutory reserve for working capital and dividends of another 393 million reais. Now we are on slide 24, another source of concern from analysts and investors. The company reports the results where the net debt, adjusted net debt over adjusted EBITDA is of 3.41. And as we had in the previous quarters, considering the relevance of the CVA aspects, we have a reconciliation. If we did not have that disbursement of the CVA throughout the last year, we would then have our indexers slightly below 3 at 2.94. The chart at the bottom illustrates this movement with the amounts in 14 and the expansion in 2015 since the first quarter, going from 1,018 in the first quarter to the conclusion of the third quarter at 1,907 in the last quarter with 1,682. In our understanding, considering the perspectives of the discos for the next 2 or 3 months, tomorrow we have our small 5 distributors here. In April, we have Paulista, which is the largest, in June with RGE. We understand that these volumes will become positive for the company as of September. On page 25, reporting the increase in the nominal price of the debt. In this series, we have the higher nominal cost, nominal and real, with an important indexing on CDI and the other, especially with BNDES 18 on the long-term interest rate, 6% on the prefixed PSI, and 3% on pension funds. It's a comfortable situation in terms of liquidity, so with a cash at the end of the year, 5,400,000, it's almost 2.4 times the amortizations of the last 12 months. Average tenor of 3.5%, and the short term is only of 13.3% of the total, so it is a comfortable scenario considering the perspectives. With that, our position as regards to the group's perspectives and increase on page 26 with the future investment perspectives, IFRS on the top, consolidating with the participations recognized by IFRS. But I think it will be better to analyze it on the bottom with a pro forma investment of 1,200,000 last year, with an important challenge now, the regulatory remuneration for Paulista and RGE over the next 2 years, increasing the distribution investments to approximately 1.2-1.4 million reais for the next 2 years. And the approved costs for Renováveis on generation and the projects for the commercialization and services. This year, then, we shall invest close to 2.1 million. And there's a decrease because of the closure of Renováveis projects. Once new projects are included, this will increase, but this is in the company's perspectives for the 5-year investment plan, a pro forma of around 8,700 million reais, with this commitment to the growth of the company, both on distribution and generation of renewables. So on 27, reporting the capital markets indicators, IBRX 50 is an important reference for investors, one of the main stock indexes of local market, and most traded shares in terms of liquidity. CPFL joined in January 2016. Same thing with the BNDES, with the Carbon Efficient Index, and staying on IBRX 50, and we remain among the 35 companies, the market share of this index is of approximately 1 trillion reais, market cap. On page 28, the share's performance with an increase of 2.1 compared to the decrease of 3.8 on the New York, termed as a smaller drop compared to Dow Jones. This is mostly related to the currency. There's also an average increase on trading volume. And the company is included in the main indexes over the last years. These were my main remarks with our vice presidents and officers to answer your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll start the questions and answers session. In order to ask a question, please dial star 1. To remove your question from the queue, please dial star 2. Our first question is from Vinicius Canhão from Credit Suisse. Hello, Wilson. Good morning. I have two questions. The first one is just a confirmation of some data you provided, and the second one will be a question that I asked on the previous calls about the contract on ANEEL's proposal that is being developed. You said that you would be able to reduce contracting 4%. So the DISCOs, the average level of this overcontracted position is of 109%. And then if you have this decrease, you'll be within the 100% interval and there will be no loss resulting from it. Yes, the figures are below 109, and they will be below 105, especially within the next 2 years. So that gives you some room for the next years, yes. And my second question, we see an improvement in the environment with the CVA, a more controlled debt, and we're following on the calls that there's a considerable amount of assets available in the market. And I've been asking you if the time to take more risk has arrived or if it is the time to be more conservative considering the economic scenario. It's time to be more conservative and leave these opportunities for the future because of the risk of the business and risks of balances. Has this changed, or this proposal of being more conservative still holds, and that will be the position throughout the year, or do you see a greater appetite now if that drives you to maybe take any initiatives in the terms of acquisitions for this year? It's not a matter of being conservative. It's a matter of being disciplined, the group being disciplined. I think we do have an improvement in the scenario. We are focused in the evaluation of opportunities with the VP, but we're in a better position, but we will not let go of being disciplined. And even with the minimum dividend, and that illustrates that the focus of the group is to have a capital structure that is more robust and healthier. We are leveraged, and that is a strategy to create value because of income tax advantages and so on, but we are a company that is focused on growth. But I would say the time is now for favorable to the buyer because the price of assets shall decrease. Of course, we will analyze opportunities. If we verify an opportunity, we maintain an appetite, but what we maintain above all is discipline. I think it's important when we don't have certainty of how the market will be. We understand that this is crucial. We feel confident with the decision that we took with the dividend position or the last movements of the agency as regards Itaipu and determining this perspective of a higher liquidity. Of course, we will use these results of our work with M&A and Greenfields with the discipline required by the current times. Excellent. Thank you. That was very clear.
Miguel Rodriguez, Morgan Stanley. Good morning, everyone. Wilson, could you talk about your debt rollover plans, $2.3 billion maturing in the short run? So what would be the refinancing cost that you estimate, and to which extent you could consider amortizing part of this debt? And do you have a higher visibility about debentures for infrastructure, more specifically distribution, which was a point under discussion as well? I will ask Gustavo to answer your question because he's very much involved in both themes. That rollover. This is an important theme, and we focused a lot of attention on that, mainly at the beginning of last year. We already imagined having a very challenging year, such as was the case, really, 2015. So we have brought this forward, and we rode over practically all the debt that we had maturing in the short run before this scenario materialized. So our situation regarding liquidity is very comfortable. We are closing the year with over 4.5 billion reals. So all our needs for refinancing by the end up to the end of 2017 are totally under control. We have no exposure whatsoever to the credit market in Brazil today. You know that this market is much smaller in terms of volume and with much higher costs, be it because of the CDI at the levels that they are or the spreads that we are charged in the market. So today we are monitoring the market, looking for alternatives and for other solutions, thinking about 2018 maturing. So as far as 2017, our debt is totally under control, so we are very comfortable. We can look around the market, and if we see a good opportunity for funding, then, of course, we will go after it. If we don't find one, then we monitor things with our eyes turned on 2018. And one of the challenges that we have in this market is regarding new funding sources. Already going to your second question, undoubtedly the company is very much involved in this theme of infrastructure debentures. We have already held meetings with ABRAD, with Ministry of Mines and Energy, and with ANEEL itself in order to find a way to extend the benefit to the distribution sector. There is no definition yet coming from the ministry, but I would say that the outlook is positive and the ministry understands that the challenge that we face today regarding financing very long-term investments, like, you know, 20, 30-year investments, most of the companies today finance their CapEx with short-term capital. So I think the government is hearing this with favorable ears because it has to do with the sustainability of investment, and long-term investment facilities have to be created. And, of course, this has to do with the infrastructure debentures. So we are bullish about getting this source of funding for the distribution sector. But so far, there is no definition from the government as yet. Thank you very much. One second question, maybe to Wilson. There was something about the valuation of Acelgi, that the suggested price seems to be expensive, that would reduce the attractiveness of the auction. So some concessions are not reaching the targets of financial quality required by ANEEL. So how do you expect this consolidation process in distribution to happen? Do you believe that the players that are not reaching their targets will be looking around for prospective buyers already by the beginning of this year before they face problems because they are not reaching the targets imposed by ANEEL? So I would like to hear from you, how do you think consolidation will happen in distribution? I think consolidation is necessary and it will occur, so I don't have much doubt about that. The fourth cycle and the situation of renewal of concessions, or be it the financial situation of some concessions that are not performing, this is desirable. So 63 distributors would not make a lot of sense. So, of course, this will probably undergo a grouping process until you can rationalize the numbers. You know the amount of pages or number of pages that you need to report a very small concession. And now you analysts go into what you analysts call when you talk about Selvi, which is a company that has a very positive market. It's a company that is located in the market and it is growing, a company that has operating performance that is lower than others, such as ours. And one of the references that you use in order to evaluate a company is the implicit value in the multiplication of the regulatory asset base. So a company that is more efficient has a value that, or the implicit multiple is higher than the market's. But in the specific case of Selgi, this figure is almost 30% higher. So when we talk about the price or attributed price, you evaluate the company that will be participating, and you will see whether the acquisition is possible. It is only possible if you can place your technology, your processes, your systems, and bring the company from an X per CSV performance to a Y performance, higher than X. And we don't know why, but the analysts, it seems, do not know that yet, why this price was established. So we have to have a deeper understanding of the price until we can imagine the processes to happen in the other companies, in the cases of the ones linked to Eletrobras. I think this was a good thing in the process that was placed for renewal, that is to say, the duration, because even the operators that face problems, be it regarding quality or financial, they have time, and being private, they are not going to wait to have a problem with the agency, because the examples regarding this were not good for those who own the companies. So when you have this time, and if you have the adequate time And if you see in this adequate time that you will not be able to perform accordingly, the most adequate and more, and in order to preserve the residual value of the company, the best thing is to divest, to sell, and then things become easier, be it because of geographic proximity or facility in terms of systems. So I think we will see this kind of movement, yes. Thank you very much, Wilson and Gustavo. Liliana Young, UBS. Thank you for the question. I have one question regarding M&A. Do you think ASU and others selling assets in 2016? And a broader question, would you be interested in participating in transmission because regulatory returns are better than distribution? Even more so when the traditional players in transmission are facing financial difficulties. Okay, my two questions. Thank you for the question. Yes, we believe that states such as Rio Grande do Sul, today is an important day for them, today, tomorrow, when they will be holding meetings to refinance with the government. But another alternative, and even in order to be able to do something in the state, would be to sell off or privatize some of the concessions. And I think this will be considered more seriously now. These are assets that are facing a good moment vis-a-vis prices. The concessions have just been renewed. I'm talking about the state concessions. So I have no doubt that this kind of move has a potential. In the specific case of ASU, as you mentioned, the last move that they made regarding separating or spinning off Brasiliana, and based on a few things that the executives have been mentioning, go in the direction that you have just referred to. And this company is well-placed in Rio Grande do Sul. They have a concession, and they are the most efficient concession there. So, of course, if these things occur, we will be assessing the perspectives. And, of course, they are assets that would make a lot of sense in our growth process, provided financial discipline is maintained, okay? And what about transmission? Maybe you have not noticed, but we have been getting into this segment. We chose as criteria to participate, especially to make feasible facilities that are where we may have an interest in terms of usage. The first one is the Piracicaba substation. It was an important substation for the needs of the CPFL, Companhia Paulista de Força e Luz. And we saw that the players, it was an excellent investment that we made. It was a major investment. And by the end of last year, we had the second asset. We participated in the auction, and we were the winners of Mohagudo. And I agree with you that the outlook for investments in transmission have improved quite dramatically. So the prices established to attract more players, well, they have already reached a quite good level, and we are paying a lot of attention to this. And always thinking about financial discipline, you have a maturation that is of 1 or 2 years, and you have financing from the BNDES, and you can issue infrastructure debentures. So we have been analyzing these opportunities very thoroughly.
If you allow me another question about the distribution segment, the EBITDA was weaker than we expected. We saw in this quarter that delinquencies increased slightly. So what would be a guidance or a recurrent level of EBITDA acceptable, and would this be possible to reach it this year where the GDP is expected to decrease? I'll ask Gustavo to give you an answer. I think some of the topics here are important to mention. First is that this quarter, unlike the year results, we have an important impact of the currency exchange variation, and that affects negatively our EBITDA, but it returns, and this shall be adjusted for us to be able to analyze the distribution EBITDA more in a recurring fashion. Another thing, as you mentioned, about the liquidity, Wilson showed the data, and I think we do have a nominal increase in delinquency in absolute terms, considering the moment. But on the other hand, there is some stability in the percentage level vis-a-vis our revenue. And when we consider our delinquency, this increase up to this point has been offset by the increase in revenue from fines and interest that we have. There has been a slightly positive effect even when we also consider the increase on expenses that we have with a greater control of delinquency, now talking about the numbers of cuts. And I think we have to be a little bit careful with the EBITDA of the discos, because there is a non-recurring effect as well of the currency variation, and the other effect is offset in the other line of the results, and therefore it does not affect our net income line. So when we consider it, the perspective, of course, there is an impact of the market, especially in the home market and the residential market. On the industrial market, we also still have the preserved margins with the demand contracts, but of course we suffer from a decrease in the residential consumption. Analyzing 2016, the scenario is slightly different. We already see a perspective of increase in energy consumption from residences when compared to 2015. We have a growth of between 2 and 2.5% with a perspective of market increase for 2016, and with the tariff on the opposite side from last year. If last year we had an almost 60% increase on tariffs, for this year the perspective is very different, either because of the decrease of the tariff flag, we already are on yellow and we will evolve to the green flag. There's also an expectation of a decrease in the tariff values throughout the year. Considering our discos, especially RGE in June and Piratininga in October, we see an expectation of a tariff decrease. In Piratininga's case, that would amount to more than 25% of tariff decrease, not including the tariff flag. So that should also bring a more positive perspective in terms of power consumption in our concession areas. So the main messages are, first, reading the results carefully when considering distribution in the fourth quarter of 2015, because it is different from what is expected for 2016. We now have a more positive outlook for distribution as of this year, either because of a rebound. There's a small rebound of the market with the expectation of this tariff reduction throughout the year, and the impact of the tariff divisions and reviews. Piratininga had a tariff review at the end of last year, and this will be consolidating the entire result as of 2016. The small distribution companies now are also undergoing the tariff review process in March with the perspective of regaining larger or higher margins. And this is the scenario that we have for distribution. Thank you. We now close the questions and answers session. I would like to turn the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for his final remarks. I think with this last question, what Gustavo said is very important. As I said, I think the year of 2015 was without a doubt, the worst during this crisis. 2016 tends to be better due to a number of variables. The decrease that we verified in consumption and that we detailed to you, our expectation and what we have verified already, especially in February, it's more about the flat growth and the vegetative consumption. So the negative effects of delinquency, we believe, are either with the change on tariff flag or with the reduction resulting from CDA in and Itaipu will benefit consumers. So we understand that this is a positive perspective. As regards generation, the main problems were definitely sorted. And the financial aspect that a disciplined group as ours always is concerned with now has a real possibility for resolution. So what has been established for 2016 clearly better for the group than the conditions we had in 2015. And I think that now we have the inspiration of our governance, our shareholders, and our business culture. Yes, there will be a series of opportunities. They will be analyzed with our discipline. And on the other hand, we have the internal opportunities of businesses that we have already formed. For example, CPFL Eficiencia, with a remarkable set of opportunities for profit and that materialized in the free market area. You've seen an important migration in moments of excess or surplus. The company has this competence and this ability to make its position. And, of course, all processes of rationalizing costs and the productivity processes implemented in the company. So I understand that the year of 2016 is a challenge for all Brazilians and for the whole country, and it will be for us as well. But as we always say, it is also a year of great opportunity for those who have prepared for this moment, and CPFL has prepared. So we are confident in the performance of our operations due to the preparation we've undergone in the last 2 years. We thank you for your attention to our conference call. CPFL Energia's conference call is now closed. We thank you all for your participation. Have a good day.